spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our dramatic program today, The Gates of the City, was written by Joseph Mindell and is the last in the series entitled Jerusalem the Golden.
And I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And the angel said, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited without walls. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her.
But until the prophecy of Zechariah is fulfilled, the wall remains, winding like a ribbon returning upon itself to enclose the high place where David sang. The narrow, stone-paved streets that knew each in their time, the steps of prophets, Maccabees, soldiers of Rome. Mount Moriah, where the twice-built temple was twice destroyed. The wall and the gates that pierce the wall.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Yea, lift them up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
The gates are open again after 20 years. And in each one of these gates, there are stories.
The Jaffa Gate, November 1898.
First, by ship to Jaffa, then by carriage to Jerusalem, to the Jaffa Gate, where temporary quarters had been built, clearly for an important personage, the Kaiser. Having come so far, Theodor Herzl stood at the Jaffa Gate and waited.
I think, Wolfson, that one day I will die of impatience.
I don't like it, Herzl.
Naturally not. What is there to like about standing in the dust of the Jaffa Gate?
You know what I mean. Herzl, the Turkish government knows why you're here.
The Sultan and his ministers are not fools.
That is why every minute longer that we remain in Palestine increases the risk.
Of course it's risky. Do you expect the Sultan of Turkey to hold out his hand and say, My dear Herzl, certainly you may have Palestine as a homeland for your scattered people.
I'm not a fool either, Herzl. The Sultan will not permit Jewish immigration. Unless
he realizes that we are only coming home, and that our work will prove a blessing to the land and all that inhabit it.
How can the Sultan understand if you can't talk to him?
We will talk to him, Wolfson. Maybe for the time being, indirectly, by talking to the statesmen of the world, the leaders of the nations, to make them understand our goals. We will speak to them all, the Russians, the French, the Americans.
As you have already spoken to the British authorities?
Exactly.
And with what result, Herzl?
Wolfson, I am the impatient one. The result was a degree of understanding and perhaps sympathy.
How large a degree of sympathy do you think you will find in your audience with him? There in that gaudy tent at the Jaffa Gate.
I don't know. But if he will grant an audience, if Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany will listen, I will explain to him, as to the head of every state in the world, what we want. You are looking for me, Herr Leutnant?
I have a message from His Excellency, the Chancellor, Count von Bülow.
The Kaiser will see us.
His Imperial Highness has been informed of your presence.
Oh, I see. When will His Highness receive us?
Count von Bülow instructs you to hold yourself in readiness. You will be called.
Herr Leutnant.
Count von Bülow told me that you would not know how to receive a message from His Imperial Highness.
When will we see His Majesty?
At His Majesty's convenience.
Please, Herzl, sit down. You're wearing yourself out.
At His Majesty's convenience. That was 5 days ago.
Herzl, there's a ship leaving from Jaffa in the morning.
No!
This delay for no reason. Maybe it's a trick to hold you here, a plan to make a dramatic arrest.
If that's what they intend, you'll be in prison with me.
Of course.
And don't be so calmly heroic.
They'd let me go. It's you they want. If the Turkish government gets its hands on you, that would end the whole business here and now.
Oh, that's nonsense, and you know it. There is still the Zionist Congress.
What would happen to the Congress without you? You are the Congress.
No.
Herzl, you must rest. You'll make yourself sick.
I promise you, Wolfson, I will not be sick until I have spoken with the Kaiser.
Your Imperial Majesty, this is Theodore Herzl, representative...
Relax, Lieutenant. I know who he is. Sit down, Herzl. Sit down.
Thank you, Your Majesty. I am happy that you have agreed to receive me.
The Turks are not too happy about your activities here in Palestine.
I find it difficult to see why they should object.
Do you? Maybe they are suspicious of your intentions.
And yet our proposals will bring advantages not only to Turkey, but to all of the Near East.
And to the Jews as well, eh, Herzl?
I have never pretended otherwise, Your Majesty. It is a matter of great urgency for millions in Europe and other parts of the world.
Yes, your Landsleute have not had such a good time of it in Russia these last couple of hundred years.
Nor in Germany.
You are infinite!
Never mind, Lieutenant. So you and your compatriots are willing to leave the civilized nations of Europe for the Palestinian wilderness.
To build our own nation in the promised land. To be free and to live in peace with all the world.
Herzl, the Turks would never allow large-scale immigration into Palestine. Have you considered other areas? Egypt, for example.
We will not go to Egypt. We were there long ago.
Did you hear that, Lieutenant?
Yes, Your Imperial Highness.
Well, then, why don't you laugh? He has no sense of humor. Which you Zionists also lack, together with a sense of reality.
Your Majesty is not sympathetic to our proposals?
What proposals? You talk of buying this and buying that. With what will you buy it?
With the contributions of those who have much, and the pennies of those who have little. The millions of ordinary people.
Ordinary people are for carrying burdens on their backs as oxen carry burdens. Out of such as these, you do not create a nation, an empire.
The empires of 2,000 years have decayed and disappeared, Your Majesty. But we remain to remember them. What an extraordinary survival of an ordinary people.
The carriage is here, Herzl. We'll have to hurry to catch the ship at Jaffa.
Such a long face, Wilson.
I don't see that there is cause to dance for joy.
Well, neither is there cause to weep.
We came hoping to establish a firm foundation for the homecoming of our people to Palestine. And now we're leaving.
Great things do not need a firm foundation, Wolfson. An apple must rest on the table, but the earth swims in empty space.
What's come over you, Hassel?
I don't know. Yes, I do. I have been overtaken by certainty. I'll tell you something. A year ago at Basel, when we founded the Zionist Congress, the Jewish state was founded. I know it. In 5 years, perhaps, surely in 50, everyone will see it. It is inevitable. There will be a Jewish state.
The Zion Gate, spring, 1948.
Dispatcher at the Zion Gate calling Kfar Etzion. Kfar Etzion.
Zion Gate, this is Kfar Etzion.
Your package will be sent as requested.
Good. We need the merchandise.
That is, almost as requested.
Kfar Etzion, largest of the four agricultural settlements of the Etzion block, was less than 10 miles from Jerusalem, off the road from Hebron.
Here's your package, my friend.
Sit down.
They don't mean business yet. This is still infiltration, not invasion.
Well, is this the whole convoy?
That's it. Aren't you going to unload it? I'd like to start back before dark.
But we asked for some 3-pounders, more heavy machine guns, mines, and ammunition.
I'm sure the general staff knows what you asked for.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yakov, shalom.
Yes, Kushin.
Everyone who's not on guard duty is to help unload the convoy. Make it fast.
Well, tell me, did the general staff also happen to mention how we're expected to do what they expect us to do?
It's simple. You heard the Palmach commander explain it at the briefing last week.
Now explain it to me, Moshe.
Well, the Arab Legion is already moving north toward Jerusalem.
That I know.
There's only one road they can use. The Etzion block is on.
I know. What did the commander say? We are a forward position in the defense of Jerusalem.
Right. And so far, we control the road.
Moshe, how long can we control it with rifles when they really attack with artillery, tanks, maybe planes, and outnumbering us 10-1? Never mind. It's a foolish question.
The answer is one day at a time, Echo. One day at a time. Etzion here.
I have news for you, Kfar Etzion. I've resigned as dispatcher.
Who's your replacement?
Well, you don't understand. There will be no more packages for the time being. We're having a little problem ourselves.
You are?
The road into Jerusalem has been cut. We have no contact with the coast. Are you still there, Kfar Etzion?
Yes. Tell me, how bad is it in Jerusalem?
Well, there are shortages of food, water, fuel, electricity. No mail, no newspapers. But on the whole, it could be worse. They've started a new road that should be finished in 5 days.
5 days? Did you say only 5 days?
What's so surprising? After all, there are 24 hours in a day.
Ammunition! Hold your fire!
Hold your fire!
Fire!
The Koharetzion calling Zion Gate. Zion Gate.
Come in, Koharetzion.
Our situation is very bad. About 2,000 Arabs, including all the Arab villages in the neighborhood, are taking part in the attack. We're being heavily shelled. Send planes. Koharetzion to Zion Gate. They're sending armored vehicles. We have no weapons against them. Many casualties. We cannot attend to the wounded. No planes have come so far. The Arabs have advanced to within 100 yards. Shelling is continuing. Our men are standing firm and our spirit...
Zion Gate to Koharetzion. Finish your report. Repeat, Koharetzion. Finish your report to Zion Gate. Moshe, answer me. Moshe!
The vision of Isaiah, which he saw concerning Jerusalem. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceases. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten unto ruin. Howl, O gate, cry, O city.
On the 13th of May, 1948, the Etzion block was captured. Jerusalem was lost, and yet was saved. Cut off from the rest of the Jewish population, bombed by artillery and planes, the old city within the walls was forced to surrender to the Arab Legion. But the new city outside survived. So that Jerusalem, the city of David, was a divided city.
May 14, 1948, in the city of Tel Aviv, we, representing the Jewish people in the land of Israel, by virtue of our natural and historic right and of the resolution of the General Assembly of the United Nations, do hereby proclaim the establishment of a Jewish state in the land of Israel. The state of Israel.
The Jewish state that Theodor Herzl foresaw came into being 50 years after his journey to the Jaffa Gate.
The St. Stephen's Gate, June 1967.
Mount Scopus, where the original buildings of the Hebrew University still stand, overlooks the old city of Jerusalem, the Eastern Gates, and the Temple Mount. Under the 1948 armistice agreement, Mount Scopus was an Israeli enclave in Jordanian-occupied territory, manned by a small Israeli police detachment serving two-week tours, who were counted, going in both directions, by the United Nations representatives. Monday, the 5th of June.
Joshua, the Arabs have attacked. Our planes have gone in against Egypt.
So, it has finally begun.
Prime Minister Eshkol has appealed to the Jordanians to keep out of the war. But if Jordan attacks, we'll fight.
In more diplomatic language, I imagine.
I wrote it down. However, should Jordan open hostilities, we shall react with all our might, and King Hussein will have to bear the full responsibility for all the consequences. It's the end of message.
Was there an answer?
What? Hussein said...
I can hear what he said. Get down, Zeb.
Oh, I wrote that down, too. He said, the hour of revenge has come.
Joshua, Jordan Radio says that their forces have occupied Mount Scopus.
Awfully decent of them to let us know. All radio headquarters that the reports of the occupation are greatly exaggerated.
You know, Joshua, I have never seen Jerusalem from this side.
How could you? Tell me, do you remember the War of Independence?
Oh, I was a year old.
Yes, of course. I was 11. We lived in the quarter just behind the Temple Mount.
In the old city? Where?
You can't see it from here. Hmm. When the old city was surrendered, women, the old people, the children went into the new city. Men of military age were sent as prisoners to Transjordan. Families were broken up.
Your father was a prisoner?
No. No, he was in the party from the Hebrew University that was ambushed in April 1948 on the way down from Mount Scopus. All 94 were murdered.
Sometimes I think I can understand wanting revenge.
Well, don't talk like a child. You fight if you have to for your family, your home, your people, but you fight because you want to live. Because you want to live with your whole family undivided. In an undivided city. In a country undivided.
No, I
know what you meant. Now listen to me, Zev. We have fought small wars with few casualties, as the world numbers them, but we are a small nation.
Huh?
Now, in 1948, there was hardly a family that did not lose someone or live next to a family that lost someone.
It seems to me that this is a strange way to talk in the middle of a war.
When is a better time to talk about living and dying? Don't answer, Zev. It wasn't a question.
Look, Zev. The Arabs are surrendering the police school that they've held against attack all day.
The Sheikh Jarrah quarter can't hold out long.
And the hills to the east.
Yeah.
You see the strategy?
I think so, Joshua. Mop out outside the walls and
then
break
through into the old city.
Right.
Joshua, there's a half track coming up toward us.
Ours?
Of course. I can't be sure. Yes, it has general staff markings. Joshua, we're going to have an important visitor.
What a fantastic view. You can really understand what's happening.
Excuse me, General.
Just a minute. These are the orders. One regiment will drive straight uphill to Augusta, Victoria. The second will push along the wall, starting from Herod's Gate, and regardless of fire from the wall, break through to the Temple Mount. Clear?
Yes.
Now, you wanted something?
General, there's no longer any need up here for the regular Mount Scopus detachment.
Well?
Let us go along with the second regiment.
What are you looking for? Glory?
No, sir. You might say, I want very much to go home.
You there?
Yes, General.
Can you drive a half track?
I can try.
And what are you waiting for?
Right you are.
Hold on, General.
Stay behind the tanks.
Can you pass them?
I think so.
Then pass them. St. Stephen's Gate is half open.
I see it, General.
Go through the gate at top speed.
It's so quiet. There's no firing here.
No. There's no more firing. This is a holy place. The Temple Mount.
Silently, the soldiers came through St. Stephen's Gate to the Temple Mount to stand before the Western Wall, the massive stones that were the foundation of the Second Temple. Generals and privates came, tears mingling with the dust of battle. In an old tradition, Moshe Dayan wrote a prayer on a scrap of paper and slipped it between the stones of the wall.
Ye Shalom, Israel. Let peace reign in Israel.
In Jerusalem, a city healed again and free, the voices of prophets may still be heard, and the words of Isaiah are a prophecy fulfilled.
Thy gates shall be open continually. Day and night they shall not be shut.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting the Honorable Michael Arnon, Consul General of Israel. Mr. Arnon.
Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, the city whose name is the symbol of peace, knew no peace for 20 long years. As a result of aggression launched by the Arab states against Israel in 1948, Jerusalem was severed into two. Its eastern section, the Old City, in which the holy places are concentrated, was forcefully occupied. The Jewish populace, who had lived in that section since time immemorial, was overwhelmed and evicted, and the quarter came under the administration of a regime which refused to give due acknowledgement to its own solemn armistice undertakings. Houses of worship were destroyed and desecrated in acts of vandalism. For the first time since the Roman conquest, Jews were barred from praying at their holiest of shrines, the Western Wall. On June 5, 1967, the Jordanian forces again launched a destructive and unprovoked armed assault on the new city of Jerusalem. This attack was made despite Israel's appeals to Jordan to abstain from hostilities. The Israel Defense Forces repelled the attacker and in so doing brought to an end the two decades of truncation and violence. In our nation's long history, there have been few hours more intensely moving than the hour of our reunion with the Western Wall. A people had come back to the cradle of its birth. Thus, today, Jerusalem is no longer an arena of gun emplacements and barbed wire. Since June of this year, the entire city of Jerusalem has experienced peace and unity. The holy places of all faith, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim, have been opened to access by those who hold them sacred. Where there was hostile separation, there is now harmonious civic union. Where there was a constant threat of violence, there is now peace. Where there was once sacrilegious discrimination, there is now total freedom of access and worship. Jerusalem, Israel's ancient capital, has resumed once more its role as an historic metropolis, thriving in unity, peace, and spiritual elevation.
Thank you, Mr. Arnon. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Gates of the City, was written by Joseph Mindell, and is the last of the series entitled Jerusalem the Golden. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured today was Ralph Bell as Theodor Herzl and Leon Janney as Wolfson. Others in the cast were House Jameson, Merrill Jowles, Ian Martin, Roger DeCoven, Maurice Tarplin, Donald Buca, Owen Jordan, George Firth, Lawson Zerbe, and Humphrey Davis. The narrator, Guy Sorrell. We invite you to join us next week when the Eternal Light will present His Name Shall Be Known by Alan Sloan. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light is directed by Kenneth McGregor and presented weekly under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.